You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJT.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Hello, and welcome to the Craig Carlisle Show. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves today. I know I am. It's just a day like any other day. Saturdays are great. I enjoy them. They're quiet. They're kind of casual, relaxing. I'm taking care of some technical difficulties I have over here this morning. Not quite sure why I'm not getting all the volume I'm looking for. I don't even hear myself in the headphones today. But I know you guys hear me out there, so we're going to keep pressing forward. I know they always tell us that the show must go on, so we're going to keep it going, and we're going to keep it going on and on and on. So today's topic is owning my truth. And that's a topic that's really near and dear to my heart, something that makes me really think. And there's days that it makes me feel some kind of way about myself. So we're just going to, you know, keep talking and pressing through, because when we have those conversations that make us feel good, bad, or indifferent, we don't always want to talk about it. And if you have some of those conversations, some of those topics that make you feel some kind of way, feel free to join in the conversation. We're actually going to online as well. You can dial in at 646-668-8485. That's 646-668-8485. And, again, we're on the Craig Carlisle Show today, and it's the fourth show of the year, 2019. And I'm really excited about today. So we're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to come right back and get into the discussion of owning our truth, owning my truth. And then the best way we can do in our life right now is to really own who we are and what we're supposed to be and just own it. So we're going to go from there. We'll be right back after this break.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC. Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show. Hope you're having a good time, enjoying and listening in. It's great actually having you out there with me today. Doing live radio is different. I haven't done live in about 20 years, and live is always, I find it to be sometimes even more fun if you have a guest in studio with you, because you're really there with them and you're vibing off of the other person. But being out here by myself in the room kind of makes you go, is there really anyone out there? And it makes you feel some kind of way. But it's all about today's topic, right? It's about owning your truth. And when I was a young man, I used to, you know, think I had all the time in the world. I'm sure like the rest of us did. And we really weren't really thinking about death. You know, we didn't think death was a thing. So quite so many of us didn't have a story growing up where we really had to worry about anything. We may not have had everything we wanted. We may not have, you know, been where we wanted to be, had the money we really wanted. But dying really wasn't a thing. We really thought we had every bit of the time that we could have ever really wanted. But that actually shapes our decision-making. When we don't think that we have a time limit, we don't think we have a moment where we're going to die, and we don't think that nothing in life is going to go wrong, we tend to live our lives in some kind of way and not really with a lot of thought, kind of haphazardly. And I did that when I was younger. I thought I had the rest of my life. I thought, you know, I had all the time in the world, and which you really don't. But when you live that way, the choices that you make can definitely make you, and the choices that you make can definitely break you. neither one of the choices happens overnight of it making or breaking, but it happens. It's a cumulative effort. It may not feel immediately like your choice made you, but when it's really bad, it definitely feels like a choice you made broke you. But it's not the truth. Let's talk about a real-life example. Case in point, being overweight. I've been trying to lose weight for a while, trying to keep my diet down, trying to get this this belly off, you know. It's a belly. I earned it. I grew it. Got it out so I could see it. But I don't like it. But I can honestly say that my stomach was, you know, got to be this big overnight, and it's definitely not going to go anywhere overnight. I mean, even if you have surgeries or, you know, multiple surgeries, it's not going to go down overnight. It's going to require, you know, if I wanted to do bypass surgery, if I wanted to do any type of tummy tucking or liposuction, things like that, other types of physical augmentation, it's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight. It may happen over the course of days or weeks or months. You get a drastic change. But even when you really look at it, it's going to require, you know, a monitoring your diet. It's going to require you to get a better feel about exercise and choices that we make and what we put in our body. And I think that's what's really even interesting. We've got to be able to make choices about who we are, what we put in our body, what we don't put in our body, what we eat, what we drink, even how long we sleep. And if you get really up to it, you know, really right down to it, it even depends on who you sleep with. So we're not going to get in that really right now, but it's true. It's all about choices. And I was when I was preparing for this show, I actually wrote down the fact that I had all the time in the world, and I really wanted to kind of sit and think about that for a second. I thought, well, I guess that saying doesn't make any sense. The saying itself is really incorrect. It's really, I don't want to say stupid, because it's really, nothing is really stupid, but it's not a correct statement by any stretch of the imagination. So I wanted to find out where did this saying even come from? And I get it that it has a connotation of time being endless, and there's always, you know, more time out there, or you have all of the time and a bucket to go through. But even the world isn't timeless. The world's got a time limit on it itself. And I wanted to look and find out where that came from. Where did the saying come from? So the saying, we have all of the time in the world, actually came from a James Bond film. So I don't know if you guys are film buffs out there. I know I am. It was in 1969, the James Bond film, On Her Majesty's Secret Service. That line came from the last line in the novel as well as the film, and it was spoken by James Bond after the death of his wife. Now, let's talk about irony right there, because it's ironic that you would be able to have a line like this that talks about having all of the time in the world, but it's after the death of his wife. She actually ran out of time. And so I find it to be a great saying of missing. Well, what do you mean with saying? There's a lot of times that we have a lot of the sayings in the world, a lot of these old adages, and if you really break them down, they are incorrect. They're just so totally opposite to what we're saying in our lives. Our lives are full of choices. A good friend of mine wrote a book, she wrote a play, and it's called Choices. And I remember about the play, it was a collection of stories and sayings and scenes that the actors were going through that showed you the cause and effect of their choices that they made. And that's really our lives, right? We have a lot of things that are going on in our lives that are about one thing or another. It's about a choice I made to go this way or that way, and it kind of shows up in one spot or another. It really shows us who we are. And I know it's easy for us to say, you know, I'm in this way in my life because something happened to me. I didn't choose to be this way, Craig. I didn't choose to have this happen in my life. I didn't choose to be whatever. And okay, well, let's add some truth to this whole thing. Some of us, you can say, I didn't choose to be abused. I didn't choose to be raped, abandoned. I didn't choose to lose my child or my spouse. I didn't choose to lose my job or my house or my car or my apartment or my parents or whatever you lost. You didn't choose that. I get it. I really get it. But we're right there together. I've lost. You've lost. A lot of us have lost. There's a lot of us out there who haven't lost anything yet. But if we keep living, you're eventually going to lose something. But trust me, we can't. Our choices to stay where we right where we are in the date that that pain happened is a choice. We don't have to stay here in that position. We don't have to stay in the past and keep enjoying and wallowing in that pain. And I want to make sure everybody's clear. I don't have a lock on this whole thing, on what I'm, you know, how I'm living, some of the adages I'll put up, some of the devotionals I write. I had a friend of mine, and my pastor even, and some other people tell me, you know, if I didn't know you, if I didn't know your story really, really well, I'd swear that your life really couldn't be that bad. I'm like, well, I'm not perfect. I mess up all the time. I fail daily as a parent. I'm processing through a whole lot of things. Yeah, and I do these podcasts, and I write blogs, and I write devotionals and other things, but not from a standpoint of having a guidepost or a roadmap to show you exactly how to live and how to do things. I'm not trying to do that at all. I just write these out of a place that I don't want anybody to be like me and not have at least something or someone out there to help them know that there's hope. When I first lost my wife, my concern was that there was no one out there that really understood what I was going through. I couldn't find anybody to really walk that same path with me, or maybe they were on the path in front of me. Now, don't get me wrong. No, no disrespect to the people out there who were helping, who made themselves available, because there were a lot of people who made themselves available to help and support. There was even less people that actually did support, and then there was an even odder group of people that actually took advantage of us in our situation. I'm like, huh, that's kind of wild how that even happened. But in and all, I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm running around happy-go-lucky all the time and have everything handled all the time and I have this life of luxury. I don't. But I do have faith, faith enough to know that if I believed in God, if I believed in the promises that he set forth, if I knew that the word that was given to me by God, that things were going to be better, and like Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purposes, I knew we were going to be okay. So I couldn't walk around with my head down and sad all the time. It couldn't be sackcloth and ashes every single day. But I still think it's funny when I go back in my memory to people who said that they were shocked, that they didn't know anything was happening. They just didn't know. I even had one of the kids' godmothers tell a person when we were at a really, really low point. We were at a church we were at that time. We were looking for help from the church for something we were going through. And the person's response, their godmother's response to the person that requested the help for us was like, oh, if there's anything wrong with those Carlisle kids, I would know because I'm their godmother. If you look at the Carlisle kids, their hair's always cut, their clothes are always ironed and pressed, they're always clean, they're not looking a mess, their clothes fit. There's nothing wrong with them. But the funny thing is, for this lady to have been their godmother, she hadn't spoken to them at that point in, I would believe, a year or two. And even at this point now, on record, she's their godmother, but it'll be 6 years this month, or next month, actually, since we've actually seen her on a social function. So I don't know how you could really know anything about me. I don't know how we can know anything about anyone if we're not putting in any time and building community. All right, we're not going to ramble around and rant and rave all day. We're going to get to some salient points. We got some people online. We're going to go to them. We're going to go to break real quick, and then we're going to come right back and keep talking about owning our truth. Because if we don't own it, we're going to constantly have a problem with living it. And I got to live. I'm living. I told my kids that you can mess around if you want to, but I'm going to show you how to live. And we'll be right back. And living, I should say before we go, living has everything to do with owning your truth.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding area. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why aren't you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't all the time.
And welcome back to the Craig Carlisle Show. And today, on today's topic is owning my truth. We're trying to make sure that I'm getting the point across that I'm going to own my truth, and I want everyone else to own my truth. It's funny. I take a station break for a second. I'm noticing I'm a person that believes in specific language, and so there's certain times I'll say we are doing this and we are doing that and we, and I had a friend of mine to bring that to my attention, and I know I say it, but I don't know I'm saying it when I'm saying it, and I laughed last night when he was asking me. He said, what do you mean we? Where did you go? And what do you mean we? Who is the we? And I was like, oh, my bad. I hear you. My bad. It was me, and I was doing such and such a thing. And the truth that I'm owning in my life is that I've been used to saying we and relating it to my late wife, because I was married to her for 11 years, 11 and a half years, and having, you know, been a widow going on 6 years. That's been 17 years of having the same person that was your we in your life. So I have to own the fact that even in your vocabulary, in my vocabulary, there are certain things that I've accepted, certain things that I'm used to doing. Now, if I want to make change to it, I have to own the fact that it's a problem. And do I think it's a problem? Yeah. I don't have a we in my life that I'm talking about right now. So I need to be able to talk clearly about what I'm doing. I need to make sure I'm speaking about specific language. And so I want to make sure that everyone's clear. When you're owning your truth, you have to look at every aspect of your truth in your life and make sure that you're real clear about what we're talking about. I have a caller on the line, Catherine Harvell. I believe she's out there. I'm going to bring her on the line and ask her, see if she has a comment or question. Catherine, are you out there? Do you have a comment or question for this morning?
Hello, and I'm listening to you talk about the choices that we make and owning our truth, who we are, and how we speak. And I think that's a very valid comment that you're talking about, because if we don't own our own truth and who we are, then how can we expect others to respect us and own who we are?
That's key, because we have to know that they're not going to respect us. Because if we are not respecting ourselves, and if we're not respecting the fact of who we are, whether it be who we are in a bad time, who we are in the good time, who we are in the future, what we want to be, are, then we can't expect anyone else to respect us. We can't even expect anyone to respect us, because we're not respecting ourselves enough to have a thought about where we are. See, Catherine, I know this is something, it's funny, you're already all over the message I have for today, because I had said, I've already said in my notes, but I hadn't said on air yet, that I want to make sure we live out our truth, that we look at what we're doing. I'm sure there's been times in your life when you've had something that you're doing or done that makes you want to not show that to others and kind of hide that in the closet. But we have to be able to bring out of the closet the things that who we are, because it's a part of who we are. But people don't always feel like they can bring that out because they don't want to have anybody think a certain way about who we are. So we divorce that or separate that from who we are, and then we don't live whole. I'm not saying we should hold on to those things and claim them and make them a part of our daily living, but we can't omit them either. We can't. I used to live like that movie Inside Out. Yeah, Catherine, have you seen that movie in a cartoon Inside Out with all the cartoon characters?
No, I've never seen that.
Well, that is a cartoon. It's where each one of the feelings that a person has, whether it be the anger or the sadness, the happiness, and there's like four or five different characters they're using, emotional characters they're using, and they all are operating separately within the mind of the overall character. And there was this point where the lead character was tired of being sad, so their sad emotion decided to leave their mind and go somewhere else. Who else knows where you go outside your mind, right? But that sadness left. And so that left all of the remaining characters there trying to operate on behalf of sadness, because sadness needed to play its role. If we omit and ignore the sadness that we have in our lives, we can't be whole. We can't move forward. That's not saying we need to be sad all the time, but what I'm saying is, if every emotion is not allowed to run their course, we're going to be static, stunted, and very much insecure and incomplete.
You're exactly right with that. Each emotion has to be dealt with, and that's why we have to take time with ourselves and with God to heal these areas in our lives, first of all, before we can make any valid choices and any valid decisions going forward in our lives. Sometimes we need to just come aside and deal with these issues, and then we can bring to others who we are, and we can own our truth, and we can make we can make valid choices going forward.
Yeah, that is true. And I think for me, when I didn't used to own my own truth, I was afraid. And I think it was more fear of what someone else would say, and so I became ashamed. And so I had to come to a place where I no longer cared what anybody said. And it's easy. I'm sure we have all had people say, or maybe we've said it from time to time to ourselves, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm just going to live my life. Well, you know, there's not too often that we say that and we're really, really meaning it. What we're really trying to say is, I want someone to care about me because I'm hurting right now. I want someone to think that I'm valid. And that's why social media has become such a dangerous landscape to base our life on who likes or follows us over there, because it's just a click. It's in so many cases, the lifestyles that they're portraying are fraudulent and untrue. If we really liked ourselves enough to like our lives, like the way we like other people's lives, then we wouldn't have any problem liking ourselves, because we would really love what we're doing versus trying to follow and portray someone else out there who's living a life that's really based on, what is it, just fun in the sun and dancing around. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, Catherine. I'm saying that we should be able to have a balance of all. We need to be able to be truthful to who we are, be mindful of who we are and who God wants us to be.
And that's very true. And I know with myself, like you said, sometimes we don't want to show people a certain part of us, or that we're going through something that we're ashamed of. And it's good to have, when we can have one person to just kind of bounce things off of that will tell us the truth, whether a good friend will tell you the truth in love, and help you to grow into who you're supposed to be in God. And sometimes we go through and we feel like we don't have any friends, we don't have anyone. We talk to God, but He will always send someone alongside of you that will help you to be your best. That's what I've found. I've experienced that. I have. I've been blessed to have that in my life.
No, I have to, and it's an awesome thing to have, but I had a problem with that. I had started to rely so much on friends that I, when I wasn't able to find them, I could call. In fact, I remember several days I was driving and I was just feeling some kind of way about life. And I'm just going, I'm frustrated, I'm calling. You know, I'm going down that top 5, 6, 10, got down to 12. And so you get beyond 4 or 5, you start going, I don't really talk to those people all the time. I'm not really sure I can share or should share all that stuff. I got down to 14, 15. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I can't. Nobody's answering the phone.
But when you don't have those first two or three that you feel like share with, that's when you have to just sit down and you just have to talk to God. At that moment, you have to talk to God, and then those people, they'll call you later and you can share some of those things with, and they'll help you hash them out and come to an understanding. But I find sometimes when I call those two or three people, I used to panic, but now I sit down, I breathe. I'm like, okay, God, this is happening. I'm feeling this way, and I don't know what to do. I need you to help me. And he wants us to come to him for answers, first of all. He wants us to come to him. But sometimes it just helps to have someone else to share that with. And you can say, am I hearing? Am I hearing correctly? Does this make sense? Is this actually how God works? You know, you need that reminder that, you know, that it's okay. It's going to be okay. In that the choices and the things that we're doing, because sometimes people just go out and they just make choices, and I'm like, well, did you seek God for that? You know, that makes no sense for your life and what you're going through. Did you take some time to think about that before you did that? You know, so that's what I find in my life.
And that's where I found myself, where the Lord wanted me to know that he had first position. He was like the top 5 calls I should have been making. Well, technically, it's the top 3, right? It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's the first 3 people we need to be making the calls to, because I had come to a place where I let the fleshy parts get in the way and get sad and make me frustrated, and I was like, oh, these people don't care. They're not there, and what do I need friends for? And I'm like, wait a minute. No, we do want and need God in flesh, and with flesh on us, it would say, right? But you need God. You need to put that out first and foremost.
God first, yes, yes.
And no one else, and nothing else. And so until I understood that and realized that my relationship with God had just shifted from just the one-way conversation of me to him, and then maybe half of a one-way conversation from him through someone else to me, that I could have a two-way conversation with God, and it not be the pizza I had from the night before, or it may not be my own selfish thoughts coming back to me as to what I would think God would say to me in this situation about the thing that I really, really wanted. That God really does have a voice that speaks to us and does things for us and leads us and gives us the impressions of how we should live, where we should go, how we should treat people, how we shouldn't treat people, what we should wear, what we should eat, what we should do, how we should sleep, when we should sleep, whether with someone or without. I mean, it's all inclusive. And until I got to that point, it was a tough, tough go. I spent my time. Let's shift the dialogue real quick. So when you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show, and I'm going to go to break. Kathy, I appreciate you being out there with me on the phone. And she's from Danville, Virginia. And a shout out to those in Danville. Shout out to Kathy's mama. Hey, mama, how you doing? You can call and join the conversation with us. We're going to leave Kathy on the phone as long as she's on the phone with us. We'll keep talking. It makes it interesting. It's not so quiet here in the room by myself, not just my own voice in my head. So feel free to call and join us at 646-668-8485. That's 646-668-8485. Again, you're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show, and we'll be right back.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrell. We want to invite you to listen to The Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
And we're back to The Craig Carlisle Show, and we've been sitting here talking for the last 30 minutes or so, talking about owning our truth. And I've got Catherine Harvell on the line. And Catherine, we're going to keep on chatting as long as you're out there, and we're going to keep talking about owning our truth. And for those that are listening, or those may be listening to the playback on our archive site, which is thecraigcarlisleshow.com, I'm giving away Andrew Hopkins' latest CD project. It's called Send Out Your Roar. So if you send me a DM or email or a message on Facebook about that or call into the show today, I'm giving the way to the first emailer, the first caller. Catherine, I can't give you one. You won one back when he sent these out last month. So you can't win this one. You already have one.
I do, and I'm enjoying it.
That's outstanding. I think I did sound last night for Andrew at the Fire and Glory outpouring, the third-year anniversary. It was pretty awesome. Now, as we're going to go through, we're going to change the topic here. When we talk about owning our truth, we have to live our lives expectantly. And living expectantly, I know we have those moments where we're not as expected. We get kind of sad. We get a little disappointed in God's timing. I go back to 1 Kings 18 when Elijah was in his people in his area, in his region, were going through a great famine and hadn't had rain in a long time. But the interesting thing is that they were already, it was prophesied that they would be without water. And they had prepared themselves for this season to be without water. And when they had, you know, kind of set enough water aside, when they had water, they had set crops and, you know, their things away in barns and stored them in the way that they knew they were supposed to. But yet it had been a while, and they were beginning to lose heart and lose hope in what God said. And so Elijah would send a messenger out every morning looking, you know, they would ride out to the edge of the horizon or however far that rider rode or walked or however they got there, and looking for a cloud, looking for a sign of rain, looking for that sign that change was coming, something positive was coming. But day after day, nothing. It's like us when we know that the Lord has spoken a promise into our life and a promise over our life, but it's been a while. And for those of us who've lost something, you know, we go back to Job, and we know that Job got back, you know, two or three times what the enemy stole from him and what he had lost. But we don't have it right now. It could be years passing by when you don't have this. But we can't give up. It's like with Elijah, he sent that rider. And I can't say, the word doesn't say that Elijah was disappointed, depressed, or what Elijah's mindset was. But he was faithful. He sent the rider and messenger out every day. And so when the one day when the messenger came back and says, hey, I see a cloud on the horizon. It's about the size of a man's fist. Okay, so most of us don't have very large hands. So if you find a cloud in the sky that's about as big as your fist, obviously it's going to be bigger than that in the sky itself. But basically what the scripture here is trying to remind us is that there's faith out there, and your change is coming. The promise from God is coming in God's time, and it's always bigger than what we ever would have imagined it to be. So when Elijah heard this, he had a feast, a festival. He went in, he got excited, and hey, we're going to prepare for rain. He was prepared for the blessing. That's where we need to be. Catherine, you had a comment there.
I was on Mount Carmel. I had the privilege of going to Israel year before last now. And we stood on Mount Carmel, and one of the people in our group, she was pointing out, she said, oh, I see the cloud, I see the hand, but I didn't see it. Some people saw it, but it was just awesome to stand in that place and that you're talking about this. You know, we can expect God to do some things, but like you said, sometimes it's hard when it's taking longer than we expected, and to hold on during that time and to still keep the faith during that time and reminding ourselves and remembering the promises that God has made for us and not to go out of his will during that waiting time. That's where sometimes some of us get into problems waiting while we're waiting. And we wait and be of good courage. And sometimes we're not always of good courage. We want the Lord to hurry up. We want him to do what you said. You know, how long can I hold out? And just like with Abraham and Sarah, you know, they went ahead of God, and we don't want that to happen. So we wait, and sometimes we get frustrated, and like you said, we call people and no one is there, and we're like, God, where are you? When are you gonna manifest this problem, this promise? I know you made this to me. Help me to hold out until the promise comes.
I think it's funny because your point is so well made. Well, we're putting demands, a time demand on a timeless God. How can we demand time from God, from a God who's timeless? He created what we're calling time. He calls us from the time that we've got, from the moment he created us, and even before, to the time he placed us in our mother's womb, to the time he allowed us to come out safely, to the moment where we are right now. And we just think that we deserve and are entitled to that time, and God should be, you know, waiting and dancing around to our tune. When in reality, yes, we are dealing with a matchless, unlimited, timeless God who has so much more time to deal with us. Even after we're dead, then he can continue to deal with us in a way that he sees fit, whether he deals with us in person in heaven with him for eternity, or he decides to deal with us in hell for eternity as well. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. So that's what I find to be so wild, that the microwave generation that we've become wants everything so right now, where to God, it's just a matter of a few moments. I don't know what you're frustrated about. I'll get around to that when I've decided to get around to it. And when I get around to it, it's going to be at the perfect time, the perfect place, for the perfect season, and for the perfect reason.
Exactly. And I thank God that he's omniscient, and he knows everything. And I know with myself, even in this season that I'm in, I'm saying, you know, God, I'm ready for this. I want this. I want this to happen. You know, we're like children, and just like you want a bicycle and you don't know how to ride the bicycle. He knows what we're ready for, and he knows the timing, and he knows when we're ready to receive what he has for us. And there are always things that he's working in us, so that when the promise comes, we'll know how to hold on to it. We'll know how to appreciate it. We'll know how to care for it. And we'll know how to respect it. And he's a God that knows that. I can't give you this now. You know, you want it now and everything. And that's a part of our choices. We tell God what we want, what we desire, but he prepares us for those desires. And he knows when it's time to present those things to us. And that's a part of our choices. You know, I think he guides our choices.
You're so true. And I'm so glad that God doesn't give us the things that we ask for or tell him that we want or demand we get when we demand them. Because we've already damaged and broken those, and those blessings would be just filthy rags, like they are, right? But, I mean, they would not be worth anything to us. We would have already ruined that. And a case in point, for me, I wanted to do these podcasts and radio shows and blogs and public speaking years ago when my wife first died. My mandate, my charter was, I want to help men who were like me, who had suffered a great loss, who didn't have anybody that they could turn to or get an example from or find in their lives that were able to help them. I wanted to be that help. I wanted to be that beacon. I wanted to be whatever to them so they didn't feel lonely and abandoned. But had the Lord let me have 6 years ago what I asked for, I probably would have damaged more people than I really wanted to admit. I didn't want to be back then who I learned I was right now. So I needed to have, like you said, that seasoning take place. I need to have him teach me who I was and show the hurt that I was hurt from and how I was hurt, not just by the death of my wife, but there were some people along the way that did or said some things that I didn't like, maybe feel some kind of way. I wish they had done something more. And a lot of it had to do with how I felt about myself. Some of these things are even generational curses that are in our bloodlines that we need to deal with. So I spent time speaking with God, praying with God, fasting with God to find out what I needed to do to be the better me who he wanted me to be, not the me that other people wanted me to be. And so until I got to that state, I wasn't going to be any good to anybody. Now, I'm not saying to everybody, oh, I got this on lock, I got this, so just listen to me and I'm going to teach you how to be the better you. No, because it's funny. I had a conversation with my pastor several months ago, and the same topic came up. I met with my business partner just 2 days ago, and he said the same thing my pastor did. He says, dude, if I didn't know any better, some of these stories that you're telling me or I hear you say on your podcast or you write in your blogs and things, I wouldn't think they were true. What are you talking about? They're all true. And I'm actually not even going as deep and gory as what the story actually is. I'm trying to hide the names to protect the innocent and the guilty. And he says, but you deliver it in your stories, in your writings, in your speech, in such a way that you've got it so smooth, like you're trying to teach somebody something. And I said, okay. So I said, Alan, what I'm going to say is I'll own that part, because he admitted, he told me, and I admitted the fact that I'm a teacher at heart. And I want to try to teach someone from my bad examples of how to do better. So, yeah, I'm trying to be smooth with my delivery. Yeah, I'm trying to not say a lot of ums along the way. I'm trying to close up the gap in the speech and in my thoughts to give you something to listen to. I'm trying to put the music and the commercials together to make it sound like it's a commercial item. It's like it's something you want to listen to, not something to tickle your ear, but something that you would want to think is commercial enough to listen to. Not from the standpoint that I've got this thing on lock. I'm just a guy, 49 years old, will be 50 this year, will have lived a half a century trying to keep going from day to day, trying to keep my kids going, trying not to scar my kids from day to day by what I said. Because if people don't understand my truth, which I'm owning the fact, is that I need to be living Proverbs 18 and 21 on a regular. So often, parents, we just need to shut our mouths. We need to guard our tongues, because what we say hurts people. People say, well, it's not really what you said that matters, it's how you said it. Well, you know what? It's both. Let's just call it what it is. And Proverbs 18:22 says, life and death are the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, and we need to ask ourselves, what are we feasting on? What are we loving to eat? Are we loving the gossip? Are we loving to talk about people, talk down to people, make people feel some kind of way, make our kids feel like they're in a place where we want them to feel and stay right there instead of empowering them? And I don't get it right every day. Every time I say things that are so nasty to my kids, I'm going like, oh, they're going to need a freedom prayer session after that one. You know, but we have got to be mindful of what we say. Because if we're not mindful of what we say, owning the truth for, you know, my kids owning their truth is going to be more and more difficult, because they're going to be basing their truth now on what their dad said, what I said, what curse I put upon them. We've got to, as parents, own not just how we act, not just what we eat or how we look. It's everything that we said, everything that we say, every place that we go. And it's not from the standpoint of saying, and I know, Catherine, for those who don't know you, you're an elder, you're a pastor. So, you know, people would say, hey, you know, I don't want people to know what I do or say. And I'm not going to put your business in the street. I'm putting my own business out in the street. Because if I allow the enemy to know that I've got stuff that I'm hiding and putting away and don't want anybody to know about, that's a stronghold in my life. So he can always use that to bring it in front of me. So I struggled with the thought of owning the fact that I was a widowed dad, that I was sad and struggling with that loss. Sad and embarrassed the fact I had lost a house. Struggling and embarrassed that I had been laid off from a job. Struggling and embarrassed that I was overweight, 49-year-old, trying to figure out what life looked like again. I was embarrassed. So I was trying to help men in the early stages of the podcast hear and know that those kind of pain points were coming. And you know what's funny, Catherine? I had a person tell me, oh man, you only talk about that pain stuff. You just talk about that widow stuff. It's always, why you got to talk about widow all the time? People know you're a widow. Why can't you talk about something else? Why you can't talk about something else? So I sat back. That was one of the main reasons why I got off the air for almost a year. I sat back. I closed my mouth. I didn't say anything to anybody. But yeah, I listened to that person who was telling me, talking that trash to me talking about the side of his neck about how I talk. But I listen to him lead Bible studies. I listen to him talk to people. I listen to him up front in his platform, and all that was all the time was the same old story, the same old way, in the same manner, of the same grin on his face. I was like, you know what? The devil is a lie. Because his truth he was owning was that he was able to share his testimony from that place of hurt, harm, and confusion and be able to show he got out on the other side. I was doing the same exact thing, so I'm going to own my truth. And my truth is, yeah, I'm a single dad who's a widow. I'm raising five boys, four in my house every day. And if I don't admit that and own that as my, who I am, I'm going to not be authentic to who I am. I will be a mess. Catherine, how in your life are you able to own your truth? What's the truth that you're owning going into this year?
I'm owning the truth. I hear you saying the person told you that you were saying the same thing, the same thing. And sometimes people, in their humanity, they want to see us moving from where we are. And that was one of the struggles that you and I had when we were talking about doing our radio shows together. Neither one of us could come up with a platform or something that we could talk about other than grief, because we didn't want people to just hear about the grief. We wanted to share other experiences and things in life. And so the Lord gave me to share the couples in the Bible where we could talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent, and just talk about a wide a range of different things going on in people's lives. We had a variety of things that, you know, topics that we could share and talk about. We could go off and talk about faith. We could talk about infidelity. We could talk about love. We could talk about togetherness and respect. And, you know, it's so many things in there that you can talk about. And the same thing with you. You talk about the losses, and you talk about those. They're there, and people know that, and you remind them of that. But there are other things within that branch out. You talk about your children. You talk about you're going on vacation. I mean, there's a lot of other things that you can talk about within that. And like with myself, going forward, I'm not going to talk about the past as much as I used to. I'm moving forward. The Lord has given me, one example that he's given me, the Sisters Standing for Sisters, and he told me to have these fellowships, you know, these groups, start out with a group. And so last night I was blessed with my first, well, it was my second group, and I feel like this is my season. And how you talked about not moving choices and not moving ahead of God's timing, this is actually the third time that I've started this since the Lord gave it to me. And I said, this time I'm going to keep it up. If I have a week that no one comes, I'm not going to abandon it and say, well, I can't do this. This is not God. I'm sticking with it this time. I made a promise to myself that I'm going to stick with it this time, because I feel like the sisters, there are a lot of people out there who need help, who need an outlet, who need someone to talk to. And so going forward, I'm standing in that truth of who I am now. I'm not that same person that I was 8 years ago, because I was running, I was going here and going there. I finally found my comfortable spot in my own home, in my own space. I found my comfortable place within God and within myself. And I don't have to keep looking, keep going, looking for this to happen, trying to make this happen. I've settled down, and now some things are taking place in my life that I don't believe would have happened earlier had I not settled down and found my truth and realized, you know, you are loved, you are capable of doing things.
That's outstanding. That's a great, great point. It's going to be a great segue. We're going to go into a break, and then we're going to come back out with Shelty's Comedy Corner. I love today's topic. Owning our truth, owning my truth. I want everyone out there to own their truth as you're listening here with us every Saturday, 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern, right here on the Craig Carlisle Show. But we'll be right back here momentarily with Shell T and Shelty's Comedy Corner. I want to say a special thanks and shout out to Catherine Harville from Sister Sandy for Sister. She called in this morning and joined, and we just had a good old time just talking. That's what this show is about. We're having a good time telling good truths with good people. We'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
And again, yes, that's my son, Evan. He's, what's he, 12 years old, going on 112. Good Lord, that boy got a big old head, big heart, big attitude, big ego. Shelty, you know about them kids, and you've seen them kids running around, but... Welcome to Shelty's Comedy Corner. Shell, help me with these children so I don't choke them all the way out and forget how to bring them back up.
Yes, we definitely don't want to choke them all the way to death. That's going to bring in a whole different dynamic that we're not ready to deal with. Definitely not. But I love the topic, Own Your Own Truth, though.
Well, my truth is that some days I just need to choke them all the way. I just grab the hell of head till the eyeball pop off.
Right. That's your own truth, just not your own actions to the truth. That's all I'm saying. We definitely want to keep it real, but we just don't want to make it real. Man, that's all I'm saying.
I feel I don't want the judge to be saying, "Sir, Mr. Carlisle, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?" Yes, Lord Jesus, can I have a revival up in here? Can you bring it back?
Yes, God, I want to release myself like I released my fingers a little too late from across the boat, Lord. Yes, but I love that, Own Your Own Truth, and I'm glad that that came up because I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And yesterday, I learned the truth about myself, and I don't know if everybody's going to understand this, but you guys ever heard of Hometown Buffet?
Oh, yeah, we used to have one in my town until they closed it down. That was my favorite spot for the kids. It was cheap to eat.
Oh, man. We used to do a Thursday family night. We would go. And, I've been trying to do things differently and change some things around in my life. But there's this place that's similar to a hometown buffet, but it's called the Golden Corral. You guys have one in that area? Anybody?
You
got a Golden
Lord,
Corral
yes,
in your area?
Yes, Lord. It's an experience.
See, the Golden Corral in our area, there's one here that I know of in Northern California, and it is almost over an hour away. So, unfortunately, that was not some that we frequented quite a bit. But yesterday, can I tell you, we serve an awesome and a mighty God. Yesterday, I was driving down the street in a city called Concord, which is not much more than 20 good minutes away from me, and I saw in the light of the night, Golden Corral. We're talking about owning our own truth. I tell you, that cell in my body jumped and leaped. inside of me. Can I tell you that I know what it felt like when the baby leaped in Elizabeth's belly when Mary walked in? That's how fat cells leaped on the inside of me as I recognized that they were building a golden corral not 20 minutes away from my house. And then the enemy snuck in and tried to play with my emotions and tried to make me feel bad. But I know the message today, God is saying, no, own your truth. And my truth is I love food. And though I may not go often, I will make sure I visit at least once or twice the Golden Corral that has been graciously put 20 minutes away from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, that cell quivered on the inside of me. They quivered. You ever felt a quivering? It's like an unctioning, but it's a quivering of the fat cells in my body. And I heard them scream in the spirit. I don't know if you've ever felt that before. They screamed in the spirit. They said, ah, Lord, in the spirit. I said, oh, my gosh, go to corral. It's not more than 20 minutes away from my front door. Won't he do it? Yes, he would.
It reminded me of the story of those demons that was in those and that one man said, let's cast us into those pigs and let us go over there.
Just don't kill us now. Yes, you ain't supposed to be here yet. Hallelujah. Yeah, so I own your truth. Whatever your truth is, you want to choke your baby. Own your truth. Okay, no, wait, don't choke your baby. Wait. Don't choke him to death. Choke him a little bit.
Not
to pay attention. But just get that attention.
Tell everybody about the status. Tell us everybody about the status of So Many Hats, the DVD experience. It's coming out very shortly.
Yes, it will be out shortly. We are getting ready to set it up for pre-sales. As we speak, the final edits are being put on the project. And be looking forward. It is going to. It's funny, and I mean I'm not saying that because it's me. I've been listening to it, going, hey, that's funny, and then I go, oh, yeah, that's me.
Well, everyone that's listening knows my family were all out there. We were able to not just laugh and be in the building. We were able to help and be a part, and I think that's what made it that much more fun to be a part of the Shell T Funny experience on So Many Hats on December the 22nd. So just know, everybody, we will be giving away autographed copies of the DVD project, So Many Hats, when it comes available. So we're giving those out here, the first callers. And John, I do believe we committed to giving away 20 copies. That means we will be purchasing 20 copies of that. So we're giving away stuff on the radio. So, you know, sometimes you give away, receive stuff as giveaways on the radio, like the Andrew Hopkins Project and the Shelty So Many Hats Projects. And people don't understand on the backside that, you know, how the radio stations get those. But in this particular case, I can't speak for every case, but in this particular case for Andrew Hopkins and for Shell T, we actually are purchasing those. We're sowing seeds in good ground. So we encourage you all to sow seeds in these projects. Andrew Hopkins and Send Out Your Roar and Shell T Funny for the Shell T DVD project. It's an outstanding time, an outstanding place.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. It is a blessing, and I greatly appreciate it. And Golden Corral will be thankful because they're going to receive $12.99 for that.
That is comedy. That is comedy. I hope you all have had a great time listening to us today. I've had a great time doing it. Thank you. Shout out to Catherine Harville from the Sisters, Standing for Sisters, out of on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. Shell T's Comedy Corner out here in the Bay Area. Shout out to all those who will be supporting the Shell T Funny Comedy DVD. So Many Hats. I keep calling it Shell T Funny Project, but it's So Many Hats, a DVD project. And, we don't even need to speak prophetically, but it's coming to a TV video market near you. We're not going to say that all night yet, but we're going to prophetically speak that into existence. But we're going to see you all and listen to you all next week on the Crazy Call Out Show. We'll see you all again soon.
hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.